Get ready to get your nerd on.
Kick the week off right with games, gadgets, and general geekery from the ladies of the Electric Sisterhood.
On Tuesdays, get your pop culture news and reviews with a pure Bostonian perspective on the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Geek Aggro is coming at you on Wednesdays to fill what's left of your cerebral cortex with the hottest beats to get you on your feet.
Then on Thursdays, you have me, Phil the Issues Guy, presenting the Live Issues program.
It's going down each week. Only in the land of Ash, nerdcore at its finest.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, Electric Sisterhood, and All Mystery Inc. proudly present No Borders, No Race, the world's J-pop and alternative hotspot.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches, and welcome to another episode of No Borders, No Race. I am your host, King Baby Duck. As E3 is only 2 weeks away, which, holy shit, it's coming up real quickly, oh my god. Anyways, I'm getting appointments made, RSVPing to some killer parties, and connecting with my fellow press pals who will be also attending this year. And to be honest, that's what I look forward to the most, you know, hanging with the old friends and colleagues. You know, granted, playing a bunch of new demos is fun with a capital foo, but it's being surrounded by those who you've bonded with over the years that makes E3 just a little bit special. The DCDs, the Arab Gamers, the Gamertag Radios, the Mayor Youngs, and the Rachel Moores. Those are the familiar faces I look forward to seeing every year at the hottest gaming expo in the world. But then again, the real fun is being there to witness the huge announcements that come out of left field. What do Sony, Nintendo, and Microsoft have up their sleeves? Is Sega finally going to reveal Shenmue 3? Will Gabe Newell finally open his mouth about whatever we're going to see Half-Life 3? And what kind of games will the indie developers be unleashing upon the E3 audience? What will take us by surprise? That's the question everybody is asking. We have only 2 weeks before we can stop speculating and start taking in the news that'll be the next chapter of the ever-growing gaming industry. Now, let's get things rolling. Remember, if you like what you hear and want to support these artists, you can grab just about all these albums and EPs from cdjapan.co.jp, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, and your local record store. We're going to start the show off with some Polysix. From their 2010 album, Absolute Polysix, this is called Young O-O.
1, 2, 3, 4!
Solar,
3番は上々最新機種スーパージェット高速スター歩くの屋根ネタ快適見晴らしも快適だ朝早く気持ちに目覚めなら朝食までに軽く街の人とにするアスファルト白い熱が出たら凍らせたワンシャツで夏を先取ってみろI'm not afraid to die.
Tommy Takahashi with Komorebi from her 2007 album Bamboo Collage. Some of you out there might be familiar with her music from such anime series as Blood Plus and Gintama. You know, I'm a big fan of Gintama, and as for Blood Plus, I liked the first half of it, but it, you know, kind of dragged during the second half, but you know, that's just my personal opinion. Last week, the famed Japanese monster Godzilla unleashed his latest film in America, and the audience couldn't get enough of that giant lizard. Grossing almost $95 million at the box office, the film has gathered much critical acclaim for its acting and CGI effects, and a sequel has already been greenlit for production. However, you know, there was something that popped up before the film came out that kind of made me laugh, and that is this notion from Japanese viewers, which, by the way, the movie doesn't even come out there until July. The Japanese public are complaining that Godzilla looks, well, fat. Now, as someone who has seen a huge chunk of Godzilla films in his youth, I can tell you that Godzilla has always been pudgy in some way, shape, or form. It was a dude in a costume, after all, and I can imagine that the weight of the rubber must have been so heavy that it required someone of a large weight, whether muscle or lard, to walk around in it. This Godzilla, however, in my opinion, seemed a bit more muscular. Granted, he was still wide like the other Godzilla incarnations in the past, but this one had more of a six-pack on him than a thing of, you know, blob hanging from his belly. Now, why make a big deal out of this? Well, you know, it's due to the fact that since this is Godzilla and this is an American film, the Japanese critics could be more akin to, you know, comparing anything American related to being fat. Other countries point this out too, especially the French. But it's just funny that a character that has always been fat in the eyes of Japan isn't called out for its girth until an American production with a British director decides to take on the famous monster. You know, we can at least all agree on one thing, though. This new Godzilla film is light years better than that crappy one with Ferris Bueller in it. Seriously, we can hope that this film erases any trace of that film from our memories. But if you haven't seen the new Godzilla film, please do. It's a great movie that does a lot of good for the 60-year-old franchise. Up next, we got Dr. Dog, a band I've been following for many years since they opened up for the Raconteurs back in 2006. Last year, they released a new album called Beaver, and from that album is a song called Long Way Down.
Come on.
Your Side from her 2007 album All Yours. Recently, she premiered a new video on the American MTV Iggy channel for Busy Doing Nothing, hinting that not only is a new album in the works, but one that may see a worldwide release. So let's cross our fingers that that happens. Recently, I started jumping back into comic books, thanks in part to that free comic book day event that happened earlier this month. And one comic book series that I have been meaning to check out was one called Sex Criminals, written by Matt Fraction and illustrated by Chip Zdarsky. Fortunately, sometime before Free Comic Book Day, the first five issues were collected into, like, in one of those omnibus books. I think that's how you pronounce it. So I grabbed it at my local store on that, you know, Free Comic Book Store Day. So Sex Criminals follows two characters named Susie and John, who both possess a strange ability. After orgasm, yes, we're going down this route, children, they have the ability to stop time. However, if they have sex with one another, both Susie and John are kept unfrozen. After they find out about their histories and their relationship grows stronger, they decide to find a better use for this power. To rob banks and use the money to save the library Susie works at. However, as they start to build up their crime spree, an organization known as the Sex Police rears its head out to try and put a stop to their bad but good-intentioned deeds. Now, Sex Criminals has a very comedic tone throughout the first five volumes, with narrative nods to the likes of, like, Kevin Smith and Woody Allen, and the powers act as a sort of metaphor for sexual awakening. And while the sex scenes itself can be steamy, they're not entirely graphic. The most vulgar sex acts seen in this comic appear as crude drawings in a girl's bathroom, and they're more funny than sexy, honestly. There's one moment in the comic that had me laughing, though, and it's when Susie starts belting out Fat Bottom Girls by Queen. But the song is blocked out with notes from Fraction about all the legal loopholes they would have had to jump through to actually print the lyrics. There's actually a lot of great moments in the comic book series. It's something I really do recommend checking out. Sex Criminals is it's great. I love it. And it knows how to treat taboo seriously while still having a good laugh about sex. Definitely give it a read, although you should probably be at least 17 before you start reading it, because, you know, sex and boobs and penises and dirty things in between. I don't know if it's even possible to make it into, like, a live-action or animated series without it getting horny, but if there is any chance of that ever happening, I'd be very interested to see how it's pulled off. Let's go back to some music. We're going to spin something from The Pillows, who will be celebrating their 25th anniversary this year, from probably their best album, Runner's High. This song is called Wake Up Friends.
潰してくれ。
those who have played the recent Walking Dead video games may find that previous song familiar. That was In the Pines, performed by Jared Emerson Johnson and Janelle Drewis. The third episode of Season 2 just launched, and you can read a review of that on Esha's EGM Now page very soon. I don't know about all you listeners out there, but I am getting more and more excited about Hyrule Warriors for the Wii U. Last week, more cats were let out of the bag when new screenshots of the upcoming hybrid of Zelda and Dynasty Warriors, along with story synopsises and collector's edition goodies, were revealed. Now, when the trailer for the game was first shown back in February, the gameplay looked good, but the graphics were not that impressive. They were in the vein of what we've come to expect from a Dynasty Warriors game and not a Zelda title. But these screenshots, they look really gorgeous, you know, as if the developers went back and retinkered with everyone's appearances. You know, Link, while still very anime-esque, has never looked this good in a video game, with even the tiniest of details on his clothes coming out really good. Of course, speaking of looking good, there's the villain in the game named Sia. She's a little more bountiful than previous Zelda characters, but that's Team Ninja for you. If anything, she reminds me of the Yatoran villain Doranjo, although I can picture Sia's henchmen being probably more helpful than Boyaki and Tanzora. As for the story, it's your run-of-the-mill Link save Zelda premise. However, adding the Dynasty Warriors gameplay mechanics means we'll be in store for some more exciting battles than we've seen in most recent Zelda games. Now, seeing as it's more action-oriented this time around, I wonder if there will be any of the puzzle elements that have been a usual staple in the Zelda universe. Hopefully more will be revealed at E3 in a couple weeks, as the game is due for release in Japan this August, and hopefully soon after that in the rest of the world. I'm just crossing my fingers that we'll get the collector's edition here in the States. That Triforce clock would look real nice on my mantle. Anyways, let's get back to some music. Coming up, we've got Bucktick, who last year celebrated their 30th anniversary as a group, and will be releasing a new album in a couple weeks called Ariwa Anarchy. Here's a cut from their Tenshino Revolution record. It's called Beast.
Yeah, I told you he got sweet.
Pistol Valve with Pedal coming from their Love Love Gun album. Last year they released a new album called The Pistol Star and are currently prepping for a summer tour. I really hope they come back to America soon, though. When they toured America, it was part of the South by Southwest Japan night tour, but sadly they weren't at the Boston one I was at, so it was kind of a bit of a letdown. So hopefully I can see them live in some way, shape, or form in the near future. As a PlayStation Plus member, you get a lot of cool perks, from cool discounts to even free games. This past month, one of these freebies came in the form of Stick It to the Man, which came out originally on the PS3 back in November and has just made the move to the next-gen consoles. You control Ray, who, after a strange accident, has a weird stretchy arm sticking out of his head. This arm can let Ray reach new heights, grab stickers and slap them onto objects, and read minds of those around you. You also have to avoid strange government officials who want to take your new confound powers away. What makes Stick It to the Man great is its humorous tone. You've got ghosts who are pissed off at their loved ones, psychiatrists who only ask about how things make you feel, the pregnant general, and so many great characters and dialogue. There's a lot of comparisons to this game and the ones from Double Fine, and you know, I can see how people can like compare the two. They are very similar in tone. The puzzles in the game are a lot of fun to figure out, and even when they get more challenging, the silliness of the world around you will help you not feel frustrated at all. If you haven't had a chance to check it out on PS3 and you have PlayStation Plus, do yourself a favor and fix that problem immediately. Stick It to the Man is an incredibly fun and funny game that I think just about everyone should experience. The only downside is that once you beat it, there's really nothing worth going back to check out. Then again, I said the same thing about the South Park game, and that's still a must play. Give it a whirl, and if you don't have a PS3 or PS4, you can also grab it for a good price on PC or on the Wii U. I think it's about a 6-hour gameplay time. It took me about 6 hours to beat it, but it's so worth getting. I could, if I were to give it a grade, I would say maybe an 8 out of 10. Yeah, definitely an 8 out of 10. In fact, right now we are going to spin the theme song to Stick It to the Man. Although some of you Big Lebowski fans may recognize it from the Gutterballs scene. From the album The First Edition, here's Kenny Rogers and The First Edition with Just Dropped In to see what condition my condition was in.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah, what condition my condition was in.
I woke up this morning with the sundown shining in. I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky. I just dropped in. See what condition my condition was in.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah, what condition my condition was in.
I pushed my soul in a deep dark hole and then I followed it in. I watched myself crawling out as I was crawling in. I got up so tight I couldn't unwind. I saw so much I broke my mind. I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Condition was in.
someone painted April Fool's in big black letters on a dead end sign. I had my foot on the gas as I left the road and blew out my mind. 8 miles out of Memphis and I got no fear. 8 miles straight up downtown somewhere. I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in. I said I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
We'll be right back.
Machine Guns with Junk Food. That comes from their compilation release, Best Tracks, The Past and the Future. They will also be celebrating their 25th anniversary as a band this year and have a few live shows this summer to celebrate that fact. Well, that about wraps up this week's episode of No Borders, No Race. Remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bastard Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, song requests, if you're a band and want to be featured on the show, or if you have questions for our friend Sawa Sensei, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. You can find me on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com, Twitter at king_baby_duck, and on Facebook at facebook.com/bostonbastardbrigade. And do not forget about the other shows under the Land of Esh, including The Electric Sisterhood, Geek Aggro, and the Issues Program. Let's end today's show with some Cherry Cokes, who just released a new live DVD recorded at the Akasaka Blitz during last year's Hoist the Colors tour. From their album 7, this song is called My Story. And until next time, this is King Baby Duck reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard. But it sure helps.
So wow.